Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly, episode 24th December 2019. It's Christmas edition! Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Peddlers Marketing, the digital marketing agency that helps small businesses go digital. My name is Sean.
And I'm JK.
Last week's news, UK regulators weigh options on Google and Facebook's dominance in ads. Facebook introduces taste buds, a way to see what friends are listening to. Facebook is working on an OS to replace Android. MeWe, M-E-W-E, a private social network, is gaining traction. Facebook acquires cloud gaming startup, pushes virtual gaming forward. TikTok's North American expansion threatened by US Navy's ban. And Facebook brand collapse manager now includes Instagram creators. Back to the stories. US regulators weigh options on Google and Facebook's dominance in ads. UK regulators. The companies have been almost completely duopolizing the ads industry worldwide, and it's causing concerns in the UK. Regulators are mulling a few options, including breaking them up into smaller competing parts or forcing them to share data to help rivals compete. We all know this, right? Now, the advertisement platform has been transforming to a point where only two major companies,
Google and Facebook,
are the ones that are dominating the entire advertisement industry on all digital platforms, right? Whether it's on social media or whether it's on search. So when traditional platforms, like offline platforms, start to lose traction, start to lose touch and lose control of advertisement, right? Once everything goes to digital, and it will get worse and worse.
Yep.
So it is time that, it's a good time for regulators to start to think about what will happen in the future if Google and Facebook were to continue to keep growing.
Yeah, correct. Especially when there's only two players out of the market and entire market. Nobody can beat them for now.
Yeah. So, and
Yahoo.
Exactly. And social media is dominated by Facebook, and everywhere else is dominated by Google.
Mm.
And even voice is dominated by Google, and Facebook is going into voice and visual hardware and everything like that. And so the UK regulators are saying that there are two options now. One is to break up the companies into smaller groups. The US regulators has also thought about this before, breaking down into smaller groups. And another one is to actually forcing them to open up their data to all the competing companies, all the rivals, to actually kind of like catch up with them.
I'm not sure. Like, in business point of view, I mean, they have actually spent like 10, 20 years of investment.
Exactly, right?
So then you ask me to just open up, for world's sake.
Yeah.
Don't know how to say that. I don't know how to feel about this, man.
Like, if I'm coming from Facebook and Google, I'll be like, you know what? No thanks. I don't want this.
Correct.
But you know that the medicine industry also goes through this thing where, let's say, for example, if someone comes up with a medical cure for, let's say, a form of cancer, they have a treaty that says that third world countries are allowed to buy and manufacture generic medication. That means they can copy the entire patent.
Okay.
They can manufacture generic medication and sell it at maybe a tenth of the price.
Okay.
Like something that costs like 1,000 ringgit, right? It'll cost like 100 ringgit.
Just to make it affordable.
To make it affordable for third world countries.
I see.
But this one, it's a little bit more like pharmaceuticals are making a lot of money. And their patents patents cost a lot to create, but there are people who cannot afford expensive medication.
Correct, yeah.
And for all these people in the world, they make an exception, right? Then they say, okay, you know what? You can take these patents, provided that all these generic medication is only sold in that part of the world, not the developed part of the world.
Okay, I understand. So just to stand out, like one is luxury brand, and then one is for generic purposes, so to say.
Yeah, one is the ones that. So let's say, for example, countries like the US and Australia and New Zealand and all, right? The medication there is very expensive because they have to use the branded medication.
Oh, okay, got it.
And over here, we can use the generic medication.
Because we are not first world.
Because we are third world, yeah.
Okay.
We're a developing nation. Not third world, but we're a developing nation.
They're not there.
Yeah. So maybe there is
a regulation
where there is a middle point that they can make, right? That rival competing companies can have access to your information, your data, but only to a certain percentage or a certain degree, or you can only compete to a certain, I don't know.
But how do you know how many percentage they are giving, you know?
I really have no idea how to do this.
If it's me, Google and Facebook, I have all the power, but I can just give you 10%, say this is 70%. You know, it's limitless.
I'm sure in order for that to be implemented, they first have to practice complete transparency with the regulators, like show everything that they have first. That it has to be part of their law, right? It's either that or you break up Facebook into smaller parts. Like Instagram has to compete with Facebook, has to compete with WhatsApp, has to compete with Messenger. And if Google, then search must compete with four separate search companies.
Or Google Display.
Then Display also have four separate companies because the Americans have this antitrust law where the leaders of an industry, there need to be at least four major players. At least four major players. That's why the accounting call them the Big Four, because they are the four.
So that's what the Big Four meant.
Yes, that's why the Big Four meant, because it's a kind of thing where they fit the minimum criteria to pass in an antitrust.
I see. Okay. Well.
So Google and Facebook is a duopoly, so there's only two of them. So they need to be broken up into another two. Or another two major rival needs to come up and compete with them.
Snapchat low.
It's not. They are nowhere near, because Snapchat is such a closed ecosystem, right?
Mm.
The nearest one could be, let's say,
how about China's one?
Microsoft. Oh, yeah.
The
next one could be Baidu, right? But the problem is Baidu is only strong in China and only strong in Chinese speaking languages. And they cannot compete, and they are not even in. I don't think they are even interested to compete in the rest of the world.
Well, I think it's because of political issue. They block it. That's why they can't really compete. But
actually, the only reason why Baidu is so big is because they are being protected in China.
Mm-hmm.
If they were not protected in China, they wouldn't have stood a chance. Honestly.
Okay.
Like right, because Google also has a very strong translation algorithm as well. And the only reason why many companies in China can do so well is because they're being protected by the government.
Their own server and stuff.
Yeah. But now I think it's time for China to try to encourage their Chinese
their locals to play Chinese international
companies, yes, to start to go international and try to compete there.
Let's see when Donald Trump shakes hands with them first,
I don't think Donald Trump can even last till the middle of next year.
Whoopsie, stock change.
Okay, next up.
Spotify introduces Taste Buds, a way to see what friends are listening to. Why Taste Bud? Okay, anyways, there was a time when Spotify tries pushing for social sharing with their desktop app. But when the service went primarily mobile, they did not introduce this feature. This is a way for Spotify to push their playlist, which allowed them to control what music gets discovered. Although cunning, this was a way for the company to gain advantage over music labels that did not want to play nice during the early days of music streaming. Now that music streaming is mainstream, Spotify is ready to let us influence each other's music tastes again. TasteBud is a way to discover music through friends whose taste you trust.
A bit of a tongue twister, right?
Whose taste you trust. Okay, got it. Nice.
Oh, okay, so in the early days of Spotify, they tried to be a little bit of a social thing where they tried to encourage us users to create playlists and share playlists with each other. And then somewhere along the way, I think it was the time when they moved from desktop to mobile primarily. When they built for mobile, they conveniently left out the social sharing part. Mm-hmm. And then they started to push their Spotify curated playlist.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually not accidental. It was done because in the early days of music streaming, right, a lot of traditional labels did not want to work with Spotify because Spotify pays too little money. And they are the first first mover, ma, considered a first mover because they are the first main, that they're the first mass mover. Mm. Although there were others that were earlier than them, but they were the ones that went global and, you know, went big. So what happened was, in order to, in a way, hold the music labels by their sensitive parts, mm-hmm. and say, you know, you will do as I say, what they do is they remove the ability for people to share, users to share playlists with each other.
Okay.
And then they push Spotify curated playlists. So then Spotify can say, I get to choose what music my listeners listen to.
Okay. So and hence then, the music label were like, okay, I'll pump more
money. Then the music label said, hey, you know what? Now we are friends again.
We're meant to be friends.
Let me send you a nice little big hamper and, you know, I invite you to my office and we can talk about how you can push all my songs up to the playlist, add more of my songs in more of your playlist so they get discovered more, this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why they did that. So it was a cunning move, but I can understand why they did it.
They need to survive first.
Yeah, they need to survive first. And now that they have reached the point where they have survived and music streaming has become something that everybody's doing, nobody's downloading music and buying CDs anymore. So, he's looking at his CD slot. So now that it's mainstream already, right? So what they're doing now is they're bringing back this little feature called Taste Buds.
Mm-hmm.
And Taste Buds is the ability for friends to kind of share playlists with each other, or you can contribute to playlists. I remember there was a time when we create like a group playlist where we can like, we can add songs with each other's.
I wasn't in that time though. Let me think.
I was already using Spotify at the time, and there were a few friends of mine who are quite music adept. That means they know a lot of kind of music.
Okay.
Right? So we created like a collective 90s playlist.
Ah, okay, got it.
You know, those kind of stuff. And now that they're bringing it back, which is good. I like the idea of Spotify bringing back the social element of music again.
Mm. But do you think that people will have the behavior to socialize in Spotify?
In a sense that they just want to know what each other is listening to, what kind of songs each other is listening to. Like if you pull up the desktop version of Spotify, on the right side, right, there's a tab that shows your friends that you're connected with and what music they're listening to at the moment.
Uh-huh.
So it'd be kind of like, hey, this person's listening to this. Let me play it and see if it's nice, kind of stuff.
Okay. So you will like spot check what they listen to.
Just have a look. But now what happens is that people who listen to music would actually share on Instagram. Like, you know, this song is nice, I share on Instagram stories.
Okay.
But if I don't share on Instagram stories, that means nobody knows what song I'm listening to. It's a bit of a small little, it's a bit of a close ecosystem, a close bubble.
Yep.
And once we can share each other's music again, like we can share what music we discover, then the chances of us stumbling into music that we like based on people, because based on the people that we hang out with, there is a higher chance that we like similar music.
Share the same interest.
The same interest. So that was the whole idea.
True.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, let's see whether they can bring the socialized part from Instagram into Spotify or not. So that's a part.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Because they purposely left it out for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so used to sharing music elsewhere.
Yep.
And even in TikTok and everything like that, right? So now the challenge now is to ask us to
come back
into Instagram, into Spotify for social sharing. That will be a bit of a thing.
Yep. So good luck.
Yep. Next up, Facebook is working on an OS to replace Android.
Ooh.
It sounds a little too controversial, but it actually isn't. Facebook just doesn't want to rely on Android for their hardware like Oculus, Portal, and its augmented reality glasses. This makes sense because these hardware are very specialized and would not see many hardware competitors in the near future. Like, for example, Oculus is a VR headset.
Mm-hmm.
Portal is that screen thing that they put at their house. And augmented reality glasses is the one that they will build where they can augment the reality outside. So I would expect that there are only very few competitors at the moment, including Google, who are building for this. And Facebook says, you know what? I want to build my own hardware, because I'm thinking what's going to happen is Facebook will ultimately build their own software, build their own OS. And then they say, okay, guys, now you can build the hardware and you can preload software, my software into your hardware, and I can do it for you for free.
Okay.
Like what Android is doing. I can give it to you for free, provided that you share all the data with me.
Again.
Yeah. So that's what they are taking this route of Google, where they build a free OS and then, you know, they preload in, like Sony will build their own hardware, or Lenovo will build their own hardware, or whoever build their own hardware. And then they preload it. Then the hardware becomes competitive, but the OS is not competitive. Of course, not competitive, but it's less competitive because then you have the Android-powered one. Then you have the Facebook-powered one.
Yeah, correct. But this one, hard to say. It's still Facebook.
Yeah, so. It is still Facebook. So it's hard to shed this bad
reputation
image that Facebook has. That if I were to buy an augmented reality glasses, I would rather buy from Android than from Facebook. Even though I know that Google also tracks me, but I know at least they are more responsible with my information than Facebook is.
Long-term reputation-wise, they have better records.
They have a better record, they have a better reputation. And they're more transparent. Facebook is just a little too... No, I think to me, Facebook is past this point already.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now next up, ads. This episode, Social Media Weekly, is brought to you by Chop Tiang Bee Cafe at the heart of Melaka, Malaysia. Chop Tiang Bee serves authentic Nyonya and fusion cuisine and is located at Jonker Street, just 5 minutes walk from the famous Red Square and a former sign, Melaka City. Their most iconic dishes include their curry laksa and nasi lemak. Also equally impressive are their range of homemade cakes like the carrot cake, which uses pineapples instead of raisins, and your Nyonya cheesecake, which is a must try. If you're heading to Chop Tiang Bee, be sure to get 10% off your entire receipt with promo code CTB10. That's CTB10.
You know what's the thing that we need to bring primarily if we were to... The most important thing if we were to go to Malacca?
Container?
No.
Tapau back your Chop Tiang Bee.
Actually, that's true as well.
Bring it back.
Yeah, I think... Felton is another client of ours. Then we can also say that, you know.
Pair together.
Yeah, pair them together. No, actually, it's umbrella. Why, not for hot? Rain, but it's too hot. Malacca is one of the hottest cities in Malaysia. And if you are traveling to Malacca, bring an umbrella with you at all times and bring sunblock with you at all times.
Really that hot now?
No, it really is very hot. Don't you think that Malacca is like very hot? Like every time you go to Malacca, it's just hot. You get a sunburn from Malacca all the time.
I wasn't paying attention to the sun. I was like happily going around, letting the sun burn me.
I was paying attention to the heat, and the heat is just out of this world. It's next level. So Malacca is actually one of the hottest cities in Peninsula Malaysia and one of the driest cities in Peninsula Malaysia. So, and you know what's the best thing to do when, the best way to enjoy good food when you're in a hot city like Malacca, in an air-conditioned room.
Oh, so hence Chop Tiang Bee's
air-conditioned room. Yeah, Chop Tiang Bee has air-conditioned, has a very comfortable air-conditioned place. They play awesome music. I think Lana Del Rey is still their top playlist at this point. Thanks
I
to
wonder
Nelly.
Who chose that. Oh, Neddy.
And if you're there and you happen to be there on the weekend, check out their cakes. They are amazing. And get a 10% off of your entire receipt. Promo code CTB10.
Yep, correct. And last heard, it's fully booked. So you can still book for your next one, which is a new year. So
I think so.
Try
yeah.
your best.
You can still check it out for new year.
All right.
Next up in news, MeWe, M-E-W-E, a private social network, is gaining traction. We've checked out all the social networks coming and going in the past decade. There's been so many, right? Like, Elo, there's so many.
We have been mentioning a lot.
And Peach, and most of them, I don't remember their names because they just come and go, like never.
They didn't make it.
Yeah, they didn't make it. Actually, we never saw one as strong, with a strong user base as MeWe. I actually downloaded it for the sake of this podcast.
To try it out.
Downloaded it, created an account, everything like that. And I found that there are so many people actively using MeWe.
Okay. In which country?
It's primarily in America.
Okay.
It's American. And they're a bit geeky people because you get like a lot of people from the science and technology side, a lot of people from it's a little bit like if you used to use Google Plus, right? It's a bit like Google Plus people coming to MeWe.
Okay.
You have a lot of groups that share good information. It's more of a niche rather than people just sharing like brainless stuff like Facebook, like
the
senseless
generic
videos.
Publics.
Yeah, like the generic public kind of stuff, which I like. So MeWe is a social media platform that champions privacy. Founder Mark Weinstein, started this company in 2012 after taking invaluable lessons from his other failed social network, Allo. I was using Allo as well, and the problem with Allo was that it didn't have a mobile version when mobile version was starting to come out.
Okay.
MeWe operates in a freemium model where we get minimal but sufficient usability in free mode. Paying 21 ringgit a month will unlock a host of features, including a Slack-like chat platform with 100 gigabyte storage space, and also video calls and all that kind of stuff as well.
And stuff. How to say, all this private social network, how many actually made it?
None.
So the niche market just temporarily use it and then goodbye.
Yes.
And then go back to Facebook again.
Yes, they go back to Facebook. The most of the adoption is still in Facebook. So the question now is that usually when there is a new social media network or there is a new social network, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. The first adopters are usually the geeky bunch, the geeky and nerdy bunch.
They want to try new things.
They want to try out new stuff. Once they get their friends in and discover friends, find friends, right? Then it will start to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Then the mass market will still be at the status quo one, the one like Facebook of today.
Correct.
Like for example, Friendster last time with Facebook. Facebook was only with a small group of people, and Friendster is still where everybody was. Most people are. Then they will slowly transition over.
Mm-hmm.
And at the height of it, the mass market will move in to the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So MeWe is going through this right now, and it needs to be able to sustain until this transition happens.
Mm.
Whether it is through external forces, meaning if Facebook really screws up so bad that everybody tries to look for somewhere else.
The timing is there.
Yeah. If a big name goes in there and changes the landscape, well, let's say, for example, a huge influencers go in there because, let's say, for example, MeWe pays more money to influencers than Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Then influencers start to go in there and create content in there, and then the followers will go in there. Or, yeah, that will be an internal factor.
Mm, correct.
Or the branding is so good that everybody wants to do it. And frankly, I think we have to start with the name. I don't like MeWe.
MeWe is just not catchy.
Although, I like the campaign that they have, right, where I think there's a hashtag, I'm not for sale, meaning it's a privacy thing, right? So my data is not for sale, so I'm not for sale. And everybody will have this picture where they have two fingers across their eyes.
Okay.
And just says, I'm not for sale. Hashtag, I'm not for sale. Sales. I think that's nice. That's a good campaign. But I think they have to change their name. MeWe is a stupid name.
Well, what about Facebook?
Facebook sounds a bit more generic and nice. I think they're fine. Facebook. Yeah,
it's irrelevant though.
Actually,
social media.
Actually, if you peel back at the history of Facebook, right, it started off as
our last time the journal we write for the 纪念册 or the song, is it?
That it's meant for colleges and university.
Uh-huh.
Remember they used to have this kind of like, I don't know what is it called, but it's a book where the graduating students
will write their names.
They will each have their pictures on their in school, in college and university. I don't remember. It's a yearbook.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called a yearbook. So okay. So what happens is that I know my school had this culture, but I don't know if your school has culture. So the graduating year, right? When I graduated from 5, we had to create a yearbook.
Every class has a career yearbook.
Every class has its own
got.
Page or two pages, yep, right? Yep. And then the graduating one gets more pages because we are the graduating ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes a class photo and a photo of every single student and a little caption of themselves.
Ah, okay. Below. Got it.
So it's actually a yearbook full of faces.
Okay, I understand. Also, therefore, that's for the Facebook.
Yes, therefore okay. Facebook.
Yeah,
because
this is the American culture
yes,
thing, yeah.
Because when Facebook started, it was meant to target college students.
Okay.
Not everyone. It was just supposed to be for college students. That's
understand.
It.
Ah, hence the name Facebook.
Yes, yeah. Hence the name Facebook. Yeah. So MeWe is about me and we.
We me, MeWe.
Yeah, MeWe.
Okay, that's bad. Okay, maybe you need a new branding, like MeWe.
I know, yeah.
Try your best to, you know, survive this round first.
Yes.
Then we talk about WeMe or whatever it is.
Yeah. Change the name to MeWe or WeWe.
All right, next up. Facebook acquires cloud gaming startup, pushes virtual gaming forward. With the coming of 5G, cloud gaming or virtual gaming is near. Yay! Along with Google Stadia, PlayStation Now, GeForce Now, Microsoft xCloud, Facebook's new venture will bring them into the cloud gaming game. PlayGiga is the Madrid-based startup recently sold to Facebook. Okay.
Cloud gaming is coming, right? So for those who don't understand what cloud gaming or virtual gaming is that, you know how traditionally when we play game, our hardware is stationed with us. We need to have a strong computer, yep. A very big computer, strong computer with good GPU and good processor and a lot of RAM and, you know, super cooling system and everything like that in order to play a game. And even if it's a mobile game, it has to you have to meet the minimum requirement. And your PlayStation is upgraded all the time because they need to upgrade the RAM, upgrade the GPU, upgrade all kind of stuff. But because 5G will bring along this thing called the zero latency. Zero latency means the delay between you giving a command in your device and them receiving the command is near zero. Zero means like it's immediate. It's faster than the blink of an eye.
Understand. Okay.
Because it's immediate, what happens is virtual gaming becomes possible. Mm-hmm. So now, we imagine now if the entire world is connected through 5G, right? Entire world is connected to 5G. I can play a game which requires very heavy hardware.
And graphic usage.
Let's say in my 2-year-old, like my iPad, what first generation?
Okay.
As long as it has a screen, it has a touch screen that registers the controls, or I can use the screen and use like an external joypad and a 5G connection. And that 5G connection actually pushes and connects with the server where the game is actually playing. In the US or maybe in Alaska or something.
Or server or something.
Server somewhere, right? Or the server is underground in underneath some ocean or something because it needs cooling, right?
Understand, yeah.
So if it's there and then the latency is zero, then I can play all these games with any kind of device with a screen and a joypad.
So basically like you're streaming video like live.
Yes, you're streaming game live where you control your character and there is no delay in that control. So, and a lot of companies are moving up to this. Google Stadia just launched it a few months ago. Of course, with very little fanfare, they're not doing very well. But
PlayStation
besides the point, it is first generation thing, right? So PlayStation has also just released PlayStation Now. GeForce has also just released GeForce Now. Microsoft will be releasing the xCloud very soon. And Facebook just bought a cloud gaming startup. And I think with all these big players in the game, I think cloud gaming is something that will come to us in the next few years.
We can actually like virtually play it some more, especially with virtual glasses and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what we're seeing. Gaming has always been console restricted, meaning that there are certain games that you can only play in PlayStation, certain games that you can only play in PC, you cannot play in Mac, all these kind of things. But if we start to move into gaming subscription, meaning that let's say, for example, if I pay 30 ringgit a month to play all the games that is available in that company, say PlayStation, right? I can play from any device as long as I have a subscription with PlayStation Now. And once I finish one of the game, let's say if I want to play Final Fantasy, right? Once I'm done with the game, I can unsubscribe and I don't have to continue paying for games that I don't want to play. Then when a new game comes out, I will just subscribe again. Yeah.
Yeah, all the subscription business-based model.
Yes.
And everyone's moving towards that direction.
Yep. Really.
True.
And you don't even have to download games.
You
straight away just log in because everything is not even where you are. You don't even need to update nothing.
Okay, like you need to be in a urban area la.
Yes, but you must have 5G connection. That is the most important thing.
You can't be at playing that at Kuala Terengganu la.
Yeah, no. Unless of course Kuala Terengganu has 5G connection that works well.
I doubt la. They don't even have a mall, man.
They do.
What, Maidin?
No, there's a mall next to the, it's called Astaka. Yes, I remember. It's Kuala Terengganu.
That's not a mall.
Okay, like you buy stuff there. It's a small, it's as much of a mall as a mall can ever be in Kuala Terengganu.
Oh well, but okay. Yeah, I'll start gaming.
All right, next up. TikTok's North American expansion threatened by US Navy's ban. A couple of weeks ago, we reported about TikTok coming under pressure from US regulators for sending private information for sharing private information with the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm.
The company made a few public announcements assuring the public, even telling people that their servers are outside of the Chinese jurisdiction. So we did say that because their servers are housed in the US and in Singapore,
mm-hmm.
China has no jurisdiction over their servers, so they cannot actually demand for this information to be passed to them.
Mm-hmm.
The hole actually just got deeper when the US Navy reported that TikTok will no longer be allowed to be installed on service members' devices, or they may face expulsion from the military services intranet.
Okay, cool.
So if the US Navy says, I don't want TikTok in that, that kind of, I think there is something that we don't know that they know, right? Like, I'm not sure. So maybe there are some information that is behind the scenes or whatever.
Political agenda.
Or it could be a political agenda, right? It could be Trump going and saying that, you know what? I don't want a Chinese company taking over, sweeping over and dominating our American counterparts. So US Navy, do this. I know that not a lot of your Marines actually use TikTok in the first place, mm-hmm. but let's just officially make a ban just to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say why, but just make a statement.
Yeah, that's what Donald Trump.
Yeah. Or it could be also like a method of keeping competition at bay as well, right? Because with all this technology and digital war and all this kind of like warfare going on, right? Mm-hmm. They might be saying like, let's get nationalistic. Mm-hmm. You know, the US is supposed to protect the interests of the Americans. Mm-hmm. And the interests of Americans is companies like Facebook and Google. So if TikTok comes over and takes over all of social media, then that's not good for American companies.
Yep, true.
So you should keep competition at bay, say this, and then so that people will go like, oh, you know what, there's something wrong. So that people like us will talk about it, like, is there something wrong with TikTok?
Then we just ask ourselves. But they're so contradicting. First, they say they want to like cut Google and Facebook to four pieces. Then now they say like they want to ban TikTok, the one of the largest player of social media.
You know why? This is actually because these regulators are different people.
Can they like speak in the same room, please?
I know,
guys.
Right? So weird. So whatever happens, whether it is a politically motivated thing or whether it's a competitive thing, TikTok will definitely have a very steep cliff ahead of them to climb. And it's going to be very difficult for TikTok.
True, as long as you're Chinese.
Yeah, now it's Chinese. Like, imagine if you know, we talked about Baidu coming out and going international, if they were to do that, these guys would say the same thing. You know, oh, don't use Baidu because they collect all the data and they send it back to the US and blah, blah, blah.
And then they forgot that their own country, Facebook, is collecting data having scandal.
Exactly.
Like, hello.
So then we are caught in the middle and we're like, okay, we'll just bring out our popcorn and we'll watch
things unfold. La.
Yeah.
All right, next up. Facebook Brands Collabs Manager now includes Instagram creators. About a month ago on TipCVP, we introduced Facebook Brands Collab Manager and how it's like the Lazada of all Facebook influencer. Just last week, they have officially included Instagram creators into the collection as well. This is an announcement made at the right time, seeing as Instagram is starting to remove likes count. With the collabs too, brand can get in-depth insight of their potential partners.
I think this is a good inclusion because now that let's say as a brand, right, one of the key thing that I see when I select an influencer or a creator on Instagram would be the amount of likes they have.
Mm-hmm.
But if Instagram removes the likes, then the metrics will, you know,
change. It.
Yeah, will
be
change.
Engagement, yeah, view yeah. rate, view yeah. count.
So then they will need to go into that. Then as a brand, we'll be like, oh, you know what? Can you screen share this, screen share that and everything? And we haven't even done the the preliminary shortlisting and we already need to contact them, right? So this is a way for brands to check out how the creators are performing even before making the first contact.
Like in summary, like speed up the process, the filter process.
Yeah, make it easier. Then you can do the shortlisting without contacting the creators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's very cool. It's nice for them to have that.
But influencer, they are just tough market now.
It is a tough market for influencers.
Criteria.
Well, yeah, I know, right? The criteria. All right. So that's all for Social Media Weekly this week, the Christmas edition. Social Media Weekly podcast is available on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Our full videos are available on YouTube, and we post bits and clips on Instagram and Facebook. Actually, you know what? I had a few Santa hats that I forgot to bring. I should have brought them. So at least we feel a bit more festive. We do have a Christmas tree, but it's out of frame. So yeah.
We will. What do you call that? Okay, Adobe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can.
We can change the background.
Okay, yeah. I can find another background.
Oops. With the
Bojo. Oops. This is actually a blue screen, you know. It's not real.
This thing is not real.
Yeah, I can change it to wherever I want. We can be doing it in space if we want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all for this week. Social Media Weekly episode 24th, December 2019. My name is Sean.
And I'm JK.
Bye.
Sayonara.